Friends, my name is Kevin Key.
You know, as we think in regard to the subject matter today, overcoming grief and depression, I believe that we live in a world today where that so many people, probably the numbers are far superior than what we have seen in years past, where so many are dealing with grief and depression. As we think in regard to this, I want us to understand is that people from all over the world deal with this. Suffering, sadness, and sorrow is felt and experienced worldwide. And the Bible identifies unto us is that temptation is common to man, and we need to understand that anything that goes along with the temptations that mankind faces in life certainly are associated with suffering, sadness, and sorrow. As we think about those who suffer, we also need to understand is that people from every walk of life, people from every type of background, face and deal with trial, temptation, as well as tragedy in life. And we also are identified through Scripture is that life has many challenges that come with it. We are told in Scripture that man's days are few and full of trouble. Job 14 and verse 1. We realize, according to what is taught through Jesus in the book of John chapter 16 and verse 33, is that Jesus Christ is the peace that you and I need to reside in, but yet at the same time is that tribulation comes through being a part of this world. In Psalms 34 and verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Good people, as we think in regard to grief and depression, in this then, why do we find is that these things are what we face and experience in life? Why is it that we have grief and depression upon individuals as we go throughout the course of life? I believe that which causes the most is whenever we experience death. Whenever we lose a loved one, whenever we lose a spouse, a parent, or a child, whenever we lose someone who is very near and dear to us, and it's not only whenever we lose a relative, whenever we lose a dear friend, or as members of the Lord's church, we understand and feel this very much so whenever we have those who die amongst us. In all of this, what is it that God wants us to understand concerning death? In the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says, as is appointed unto man once to die, and then after this is the judgment. Death is an appointment. Now understand, in stating that, as we understand the context, it's not that man has a certain point in life wherein that he is going to die, but rather God says is that the statistics hold true is that one out of every one die. Death is a part of life. In fact, in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verses 1 and 2, we read is that there is a time to live and a time to die. God wants mankind to understand that while we live here, that life here upon the face of this earth is very brief. James chapter 4 and verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Whenever we look at death from a human standpoint, no doubt it brings us great grief and sorrow. Why? Because we lose a connection with our loved one, with our dear friend, with our brother or sister in Christ. But when we look in regard to those who pass from this life into eternity, those who are faithful in the Lord, God wants us to look at it through the eyes that He looks at it. In Psalms 116 and verse 15, He says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. God looks at death in a much different light, from a different angle from what you and I would look at it. And God wants you and me and like Becky to understand the way in which He looks at it, but yet at the same time, He knows how we are affected by that. Another reason that people deal with grief and subsequent depression is because of illness. People will face a multitude of things in life, disease. Good people, I have seen no other time in my lifetime wherein that so many people are dealing with cancer and other such related diseases, and all of that, sometimes even serious sickness or long-term disabilities. And the Bible identifies for us is that this is nothing new to life. In fact, as we look into the New Testament Scripture, we find is that people dealt with disease and sickness. Remember, Jairus' daughter, the Scripture would indicate to us is that this young lady had been sick for some time. In the book of John chapter 11, verse 2, as well as in verse 21, a passage that we're all familiar with is John chapter 11, verse 35, where Jesus wept over the death of Lazarus. But as you look at the context, I believe that it suggests for us that Lazarus was certainly sick for some days and maybe for an extended period of time, to where the sisters felt that if Jesus had only come, that he would not have passed on. We also identified unto us individuals such as the lame man in the book of Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Also the blind man in the book of John chapter 9 verses 1 through 12, where these individuals had been born with infirmities of life. So illness and things associated with that word are nothing new to us as we go throughout our life here, but rather, good people, people of all times have dealt with this. As we think in regard to death and illness and life itself, we understand is that these things can be trying to us and they can lead to disappointment in life. And that disappointment then can cause discouragement. It can cause us to think within ourselves as to why things have fallen upon us or why our family members are going through the things that they are dealing with. And these things then can result in depression. And if we're not careful, that depression can run deep-seated to the point to where it will disrupt our lives. We will allow it to come between us and being able to function in our everyday walk of life. But also, good people, it can come between us and God, to where an individual would eventually get to the point to where they would feel as if they are in a state of despair, to where they are in a state of hopelessness, to where there is absolutely no hope at all. And God wants us to understand in all of these things that He realizes what it is that we're going through, and that whenever a person gets to that point to where that they're dealing with grief and it goes into the state of depression that it deals with, it actually affects their whole body. And it captivates their mind. And as a result of that, sometimes it can even lead to spiritual problems with our relationship with God. In all of that, tonight as I stand before you, I tell you that whenever people allow themselves to get to that point of depression, whenever that deep-seated depression gets into the point to where they feel as if there is absolutely no hope, it is Satan who has taken over. And Satan's agenda is to get people to question God, to get them to question God as to, God, why is this happening to me? Or if it's affecting a family, God, why have you allowed these things to fall upon us? Or maybe it's taking an effect upon someone that we know. And God, why are these things happening to these people? They're good people. Even to the point, and this is what Satan is wanting us to come to, and that is to say, how could you do this, God? And in reality, good people, we need to understand is that God is not responsible for the tragic, for the terrible things that happen unto us in this life. Satan certainly is the root of all of that, but yet at the same time, these things happen because that's what life is all about. This life here within itself offers us absolutely no hope. In those times where people would allow themselves to sink to that level, then often what we find is that these people will leave God. They will sometimes say that if this is who God is, then I don't want anything at all to do with God. Or if this is what God is all about, then you can have God. I don't want any part nor lot in Him. In those times, Satan is trying so hard to get people to have bitterness towards God, to have anger and outrage towards God. And therefore, as a result of that, they have a hatred towards God to where eventually they would even die, deny God. Where is and what is the root of all of this? Good people, I believe that the Bible very clearly identifies for us is that the evil or the wicked one is behind all terrible things that will fall upon us in life. 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. In fact, we have identified through the words of Christ in the book of John chapter 8, verses 44 and 45, is that He is a liar and He's the father of all lies. And good people, He is also the father of sin and all of the terrible things that can happen to man in life. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, He is as a roaring lion seeking about whom He may devour. and what He wants to do during these times that we deal with sorrow, grief, and even depression is He wants us to get to the point that Job's wife challenged Job with there in Job chapter 2. Curse God and die. Yes, Satan wants so much to captivate our thoughts. And he wants so much then, as a result of capturing our thoughts, to control our actions, to where eventually he would consume the soul. Good people, what is it that God identifies for us whenever we deal with tragedy, whenever we deal with sadness, and even whenever we enter into times of depression in life? God wants us to understand is that we need not to think it strange. We are not the first one, nor will we be the last person to go through things in life. Devastation falls upon humanity. Why? Because we live in a world that offers us absolutely no hope. And God wants us to be patient in tribulation. God wants you and me that whenever we're going through things in life that challenge us to trust in Him, to realize that He is still in control, to understand that He constantly looks down upon us, that He sees the things that we're going through, and God wants us not only to trust in Him, but also to wait on Him and to look to the ways in which He is seeking to help us as we go through life. You say, Kevin, what is it that you're trying to say? Good people, there is indeed an end that awaits us. The Bible identifies for us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. He says, after we have suffered for a while, God will perfect us. God will establish us. God will strengthen us. And God will settle us. And aren't those words comforting to know that God is not going to allow us to keep on going through things to the point to where it's going to draw us down? And what God identifies for us is that whenever we go through the fire, after we have been able to be successful, not only in surviving whatever it is that has fallen upon us in life, but also to maintain our faithfulness unto Him, is that we have a reward in heaven. And good people, heaven's reward doesn't even start to compare to the things that we face in this life. And heaven's reward will certainly be worth everything that we have to go through as we live here upon the face of this earth. You see, God also identifies for us is that we can find peace. Our true peace is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is indeed our comfort and our stay. And He wants so much for you and me as Christians to understand that and to constantly lean upon the care and upon the comfort and upon the compassionate Jesus Christ, our Lord. But also, as we think in regard to biblical instructions tonight, I want to encourage each and every one of us that the things that we go through in life, that we need to understand the seriousness and the significance, as well as the avenue that God has given us to pray. We need to pray continually to God. We need to understand that God is listening to us. And as God sees the things that we go through, He's waiting upon us to pray to Him. And He listens willingly and always to the things that we may ask of Him. As we petition Him, He stands willing and ready not only to listen, but good people to intervene, to come and to help us. And God wants you and me, as we're going through trials in life, to personally turn to Him, but also in a private manner to turn to Him in prayer. But yet at the same time, even though that we may pray to God privately, to realize is that we have a public avenue that we can go to in prayer, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And even to take things before the congregation to pray so that our brothers and sisters will pray with us and for us for the things that we face in life. And also, we need to be ready to call upon God's people. What is it that we ought to call upon God's people for? Well, sometimes we need to call upon God's people to help counsel us. Sometimes whenever we feel as if there is no hope, sometimes whenever we feel as if there will be no tomorrow, that is a way in which God identifies for us is that we need to surround ourselves with positive people who are able to understand. Maybe they too have gone through the things that we are dealing. If we're dealing with a loss of a loved one, a dear friend or church member, and maybe they have gone through illness. that is similar, or maybe it is exactly the same thing that we're going through, and we need to be able to turn to our brothers and sisters in Christ for counsel, but then sometimes even just to find company or companionship, to have somebody close to us during these times that certainly Satan is seeking to bring us down. And then in light figure tonight, I want to challenge each and every one of us to challenge ourselves as we go through the times of grief or even enter into levels of depression, to challenge ourselves to participate in life, to participate in things of the church. Do you remember whenever David and Bathsheba lost the child? And the Bible identifies unto us as that David fasted, mourned, and prayed before the child's death. Good people, he was totally beside himself. And even today, I cannot even start to imagine as to what it was that he was feeling whenever somebody would lose a child or even someone that close to them, a spouse, because I've not had to experience that. But as we look in regard to the way in which David was dealing with this, he was totally beside himself. But whenever the child died, the Bible tells us is that he got himself up, he cleaned himself, and he ate. And his servant says, David, what is it that you have done? Before the child died, you were beside yourself, and now that the child has died, you're rejoicing? You're going on with life? And David said words that are very significant for us. He could do absolutely nothing to bring the child back, but rather he needed to live his life so that he could go unto where the child was. And brothers and sisters in Christ, what a very powerful statement to you and me tonight is that there is nothing at all we can do to bring a loved one back who is a faithful member of the body of Christ, or for that matter, anyone. But we need to live our lives in such a way that we might be able to go where they are. To live our lives in such a way that we will be pleasing and acceptable to God. You say, Kevin, what are you trying to say? You know, when we look into the Scripture in the book of Genesis chapter 4, when Cain killed Abel, can you imagine how Adam and Eve felt? Good people, we do not have identified to us anything in the Scripture there as to what it was that they were going through. But I can only imagine how devastated they were that one of their children would take another child's life, their own sibling. How did they respond to that? Evidently, they overcame that and they went on with life to where they had Seth and possibly other children. And God wants you and me to not withdraw from life, but rather to participate in life and to go on. And to crave perseverance, to desire to keep on keeping on no matter what, to not allow these times, these moments to draw us down, but rather let them strengthen us as we turn to our God for all of the strength that we can find. And then let us cling to the promises of God. You know, God promises us so much as we go throughout life. He says, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Aren't those comforting words to know that God cares for us? And God wants you and me to turn to Him with no matter what it is that we're facing, if it is the death of a loved one, if it is illness, if it is loss of job, or whatever it is that is falling upon us, that's weighting us down, that is a burden to us in life. God says, cast all of that upon Me. In fact, Jesus says, come unto Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And good people, we need to understand whatever comes to our God is faithful. And whenever God says that He wants us to cast our cares upon Him, He means that. And whenever God says that He's going to be there with us to see us through unto the very end, not only does He mean it, He's able to keep that which He's committed unto the very end. As Paul told Timothy. And you and I need to cling to the promises of God. When we deal with grief and depression in life, yes, most certainly, it is a part of life. But yet at the same time, God wants us to see through that trying time to the blessings that He has prepared for us beyond this life and eternity in Christ. Tonight, as we close, we want to ask you the big question. Have you given your life over to God? If you've not given your life over to God, then you have no hope that God offers to those who are His children. How does one give their life over to God? Good people, we give our life over to God by becoming a New Testament Christian, by confessing Christ to be the Son of the living God. We realize that it is indeed the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It is only through the blood of Christ that we are able to be redeemed from the sin that sets us off course. It's only through the blood of Christ that we're able to be joined to God, to have a relationship with God. But God identifies in Scripture for us is that it's through baptism that we come in contact with the blood of Christ. For He says, even now we have an antitype which saves us, baptism, not for the removal of the filth of the flesh, but for the answer of a good conscience before God. Baptism washes away sin and puts us in a relationship with God. But also, after we are a Christian, we need to ask that question, am I living my life faithful before God? Well, what does it mean to live faithful before God? It means that we live faithful as His children until we draw our last breath.